Amen. Boy, that was a blessing. Choir special and the ensemble. Don, have you been in my notes? It's amazing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I just have to think that Don got into my notes somehow. Just seems that way. I love it when God does that. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. We'll start at verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And then Isaiah 41, which is where we find the title of the message. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will strengthen thee. Now he tells us back in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says that my grace is sufficient. He says my strength is made perfect in your weakness. He says when you're weak, then I'm strong in you. For when I am weak, then am I strong, Paul said. He recognized that. And so we see why God would say, And by the way, there are hundreds of verses about God strengthening us. But we see why. I mean, it's very clear, because how would God get the glory? God gets the glory. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, the very reason that you need strength tonight is it may very well be because God wants to strengthen you so that you know His power instead of your own power. You know, you and I can do a whole lot more in His strength than we can in our strength. And maybe the reason you're saying, God, I just really need your strength, is because God wants you to need His strength. Father, please bless tonight. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the music tonight, for everyone who's here. And we do need your strength, God. We as a church need your strength. Individuals need your strength. I need your strength. And I pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Very interesting. He talks about grace, and of course the song was about grace and His strength, and we will go back to 2 Corinthians at the end. But, you know, God's grace is God giving to us, but we don't deserve it. Grace is always God giving that which we do not deserve. And strength is something we don't deserve. Strength is something, you know, I hear people say sometimes, well, you know, I don't know, why would God strengthen me? Well, God would strengthen you because God wants to get the glory for whatever you're going to do. God wants to strengthen you. But ultimately, we can't really find, I mean, God's grace is something we don't deserve. You can't say, well, God, I deserve to get through this. You don't know, you deserve to go to hell. We all deserve to go to hell. Whatever we get extra is because of God's grace. And if God strengthens us, that is also because of God's grace. And Philippians 4:13 is a verse that many of us love. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But he says in Isaiah 41 and many other verses, he says, I will strengthen thee. I will do it. You know, there is absolutely no reason for any of us to ever be defeated. There is no reason for anybody in this room to quit. There is no reason for anyone to give in to sin. There is no reason, if you've fallen, that you don't just get right up. Because God says, I will strengthen thee. You say, oh, you don't understand, I'm too weak. Praise God, now you're ready for God's strength. You say, you don't understand. I mean, I just cannot do it. No, that's where you need to be, where you can't do it. You need to find out that He can do it. He wants to strengthen you. I will strengthen thee. Samson prayed for God's strength after he got right with God. I mean, it looked like God was finished with Samson, didn't it? It looked like there was no hope for Samson. His eyes had been put out. He's grinding. He's being mocked by the people there, the Philistines. And it looks like it's all over for Samson. I got news for you. If there's breath still in your lungs, God's not done with you. And I'm just saying that Samson said, "Oh God, just one more time, give me that strength." And God did. And he killed more of the enemy in that one time than he did in all the rest of his life. Just one more time. Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 6, God had called him to build the wall, and the enemy was attacking, and the work was hard, and there was rubbish. And you remember as we went through the book of Nehemiah, but he needed God's strength, and Nehemiah said, "Oh God, strengthen my hands." Why? So I can do the work. And what did God do? He gave him strength. What did God do with Samson? He gave him strength. You know, it's interesting how when you need God's strength, that's when God is ready to give you that strength. When you think you can do it, that's when you have to try to do it. And that's usually when we fail. I'm reminded of one of the kings in the Bible. I believe it was Uzziah. The Bible says he was marvelously helped till he was strong. What kind of strong? Strong in his own strength. Yeah. You know, God just kept helping him, kept helping him, kept helping him. But then he became a big shot on his own. And, oh, you know, I can do everything. Let me tell you, if you're weak tonight, you're right exactly where you need to be. I mean, you know, if you can't do it tonight, you're right exactly where God wants you. Because God wants you to say, "God, I can't do it. I need you to do it. Please do it. Please strengthen me." Because he says, "I will. I will strengthen thee." The Bible says God uses His joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He'll use joy to strengthen us. Bible says He'll use His Word. Psalm 119, verse 28. Bible says He'll use His Word. Bible says He'll use His people. He told Peter specifically, He said, "Strengthen thy brethren." Hey, Peter, you go out there and strengthen the brethren. He'll use His Word, His promises. And He'll use all these things to strengthen us, because the Bible says, "I will strengthen thee." God said, "Hey, I will do it. You don't have to try to figure anything out here." God says, "All I need you to do is be weak, and I'll strengthen you." God says, "All I need you to do is just come to me, and I will give you that strength." You know, God promises, and I just use this and use it often, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." And He just wants to strengthen us. I think about God's strength, and someone said, "Do not pray for easy lives, pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, pray for powers equal to your task. Don't pray for a lower standard, pray for strength enough to live a higher standard." And the key is, whose strength is it? You know, oh, you know, we think we're so strong, but it doesn't take a whole lot to bring us down, does it? Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's a letter in the mail. It doesn't take a whole lot to bring us down. Sometimes it's a visit to the doctor. Sometimes it's somebody coming to visit you. It doesn't take a whole lot to bring flesh down. It doesn't take a whole lot to bring us down. Sometimes it's the news. Sometimes it's the threat of the news. Sometimes it's the economy. Sometimes it's a slip from work that says you're laid off. I mean, it doesn't take much to bring us down, does it? But oh, God wants to give us strength. God wants to give us strength. "I will strengthen thee." I've looked up a lot of things. Like I said, there's hundreds of verses about strength, strengthening. Hundreds of passages of Scripture about it. But I found several things here that show why God would strengthen us and what He strengthens us for. And I think probably you're going to fit in one of these categories. Why would He strengthen? First of all, strength to seek. Strength to seek Him. Look at Daniel 10, verse 19. Daniel chapter 10, verse 19. Of course, we know Daniel was a prayer warrior. We know that Daniel had a great, great prayer life. He was willing to go into the lion's den because of his prayer life. And so we know Daniel was one that knew how to pray. But I'm going to tell you, even Daniel, when it came a time to seek the Lord and to get God's will for his life and to find out the truth from God, Daniel, as he's seeking God, boy, he had a tough time. Daniel 10 and verse 19, the Bible says, he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael your prince. And Daniel was looking for the truth. And he was looking for something from the word of God. And he was seeking, but he was wore out. Why? Well, because he'd been seeking for 21 days. And go back to verse 21. He said, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And after all this time, God says, I'll strengthen you, Daniel, and I'm also going to show you. It amazes me. Somebody will say, well, I'm just looking for God's will, and you pray one time about it. You know, I'm just looking for the truth, and you pray one time about it. Well, I just want to know what to do, and you pray one time about it. And Daniel, who's a prayer warrior, he prays, and he prays so hard he's exhausted. And the angel of God has been fighting to get to him, and it's been a battle. And I love this passage because it shows kind of what our prayer life, what goes on. And the angel took off and said, I'll get him the answer. But boy, he has to fight through hell, literally, to get to him. But you know what? He needed strength to seek. Strength to seek. And God said, all right, I'm going to give you that strength. You say, I can't pray any longer. Keep praying. God will strengthen you. You say, you don't understand. I can't fast anymore. Keep fasting. God will strengthen you. Keep seeking. Keep looking. Keep wanting. Keep desiring. Keep asking God. God wants to show you. Daniel was exhausted. Daniel, he says, I've retained no strength. But God said, I'll strengthen you. Be strong, yea, be strong. And you know, God's going to strengthen you to seek him out. You say, I want the answer. God wants to give you the answer. But you may just need strength to keep going. Strength to seek. Number two is strength to surrender. And Abraham, Hebrews 11, verse 8, look at it. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Strength to surrender. I know we somehow have the idea that, it's always you win when you don't surrender. But in God's word and in God's ways and in the Christian life, you win when you do surrender. And sometimes we need strength to surrender like Abraham had in Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. And God had to strengthen Abraham so that he could surrender to God and surrender everything he had. You know, what is it you're holding on to? That sin that doth so easily beset us? Is that it? Is it that thing that you know, you just say, yeah, but it's precious to me. Yes, and the thing is, you need to surrender. All over this room, our folks need to be on this altar tonight, need to give that thing up, get right with God, surrender, and you just need the strength to do it. God, give me strength to surrender. God, give me... That ought to be a prayer before every service. You know, when you walk in these doors or before you come in, it ought to be a prayer. God, help me surrender to your will. Like Abraham did. Hey, Abraham, I want you to leave everything you have and just go. He went out not knowing whither he went. Sometimes when we surrender, we know not whither we went. We don't have any idea where we're going. Many of our teenagers will surrender. I remember when I surrendered to God, I didn't know God was going to call me to preach. I just remember surrendering. I remember saying, I'll do whatever you want me to do, and kind of laughed and thought, I think he wants me to make millions and millions of dollars. But I had no idea. And when God called me to preach, it was very simple for God to remind me, hey, you surrendered. But you know, it takes strength to surrender. It takes, you know, Abraham could have said, well, what am I going to do, God? God said, I'm not going to tell you. I just want you to go. Yeah, but God, I've trusted in this thing for so long. God says, I need you to let go of that thing. Yeah, but God, I've relied on this thing for so long. Yeah, I need you to let go of that and rely on me from now on. I'll strengthen you. I'll strengthen you so you can surrender. Boy, Abraham, what a great example of God giving him strength so that he could go on. Yeah, but I have security now. But you have more security in his strength. Amen. You always do. You have more security. You'll be better off in his strength every time. Just say, God, I need strength to surrender. I know what I need to do. Folks all over this room, God's already spoken to your heart. God's already dealing with you about some sin. God's already dealing with about something. Now look, just come and say, God, give me strength to surrender. I surrender, God! I surrender! Oh boy, what a blessing that would be. What wilt thou have me to do? Strength to seek, strength to surrender. Number three, strength to suffer. Hebrews 11:25, choosing, talking about Moses. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Strength to suffer. You know, he could have been in the palace of Pharaoh. He could have had it made, but he chose to suffer with the people of God. But he had to have God's strength to do that. And God gave him strength to make that choice. What a blessing that is. He could have had it made. He could have been in the palace, and instead he went to be a slave. That takes strength. Strength to suffer. But again, he was another one in Hebrews 11 that believed God's promise. Now you say, preacher, I don't want to suffer. By the way, who does? But God, give me the strength to suffer if I have to suffer. Give me the strength to go through what I need to go through. Have you ever prayed for somebody to get saved? And maybe you made the statement, whatever it takes, and then you stopped and you thought about that? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah. I've prayed that before. And I've even found myself sometimes praying, whatever it... Well, Lord, of course you know... Well, God, God, I wouldn't want... And you kind of stutter around with God a little bit. And you just end up saying, God, I just need your strength. Give me your strength. Because I'm willing to suffer if I need to suffer. But it takes God's strength. We're not talking about our strength here. That's why people drop off the scene. Because suffering, they'll drop off the scene. They'll get out of church. They'll get bitter. They'll get anger. That's because they're trying to do something with their own strength. Now, I'm going to tell you are not going to be a good Christian in your own strength. You're not going to do it. You are not going to seek God, and every time you really need God, you're not going to be able to do that in your own strength. You're not going to be able to surrender to God and get stay right with God. Not in your own strength, but in His strength. You can seek, you can surrender, and you can suffer. God, I need your strength. I need your strength. Number four, I need your strength to separate. Genesis 39 and verse 12. Oh, I'll tell you, we need this so desperately. Genesis 39 and verse 12. Joseph does an amazing thing. Genesis 39 and verse 12. Joseph is in the situation, I call it the perfect sin, if there is such a thing. Joseph is cornered in the perfect sin. Everybody's gone except Joseph and his master's wife. And the master's wife wants him to commit immorality with her. And nobody is going to know about it. And Joseph is trapped. Oh, but wait a minute. He's sort of trapped because he still has God's strength to get him out of there. And the Bible says in Genesis 39:12, she caught him by his garment saying, lie with me and he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And he separated. He had strength to separate from that sin. Boy, what a blessing that is. Now, he can't do that on his own. I don't know many men that could do that on their own. Joseph was able to do it on his own because he walked with God and God gave him strength to do right. Strength to separate from that situation. Most would have given in. It's like, the pornography on the internet. You need to say, God, give me strength to get it out of my house if I cannot get some way so that it doesn't tempt me. If you can't do it, then toss that thing out. Just like your television set, toss that thing out. Strength to separate from that which is going to bring me down. Strength to separate. Hey, if Joe, you say, oh boy, Joseph, he could have been a big shot with her. Could he have been better off than what he ended up being? Now, whose strength do you want? Come on. Huh? Oh, you know, he could have had a good time with her. Well, I understand that. But how do you suppose he felt when he became second in command? You say, yeah, but they put him in prison. Well, I understand that. Yeah, he could have died in prison. He didn't, though, did he? He became second in command. Why? Because he chose God's strength over his own strength, and he chose God's strength to get him to separate from that which was about to destroy him. I'm going to tell you, we preach this to our teenagers. I preach it to the adults as well. We need to separate from that which is going to destroy us. We need to get away. He fled and got him out because he had God's strength to do it. Oh, let me tell you, we need to be so careful. We need to say no to the world. We need to come out from among them and be ye separate, the Bible says. And it takes strength and it takes guts to separate from that which is going to destroy us. You say, yeah, but you don't understand. I like it. I do understand you like it. That's why you need to get on the altar tonight and say, God, give me strength to get away from that situation. God, give me strength. I do not want to ruin my life. Strength, it takes that. But you're not going to do it on your own strength. You need God's strength. Boy, that's what we do. That's what Reformers Unanimous is all about. It has absolutely nothing to do with finding that inner strength within you. It has nothing to do with it. It's not about an inner strength within you. We all know what we are. It's all about His strength. And you better find His strength and get it in you so that you can avoid that which is destroying your life. That's how alcoholics quit drinking. That's how drug addicts quit being drug addicts. That's how pornography, folks on that, get out of pornography. It's not their strength. It's His strength. And that's how you get victory over any sin in your life or any almost sin in your life. You get God's strength to separate from it. And I didn't say it's easy. It's very difficult. I remember literally separating from my own family. You say, oh, I bet it ran them off. They all got saved. Mom and Dad's in heaven. Grandma and Grandpa's in heaven today. I mean, all the family saved. Strength. Strength to separate. Number five is strength to stand. Strength to stand. 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. You know, our problem today, I believe, in Christianity is many have tried to stand in their own strength. And it isn't going to work. That's why there are so many Burger King churches out there. You know, another one just now started. It's amazing. It's like we're going to have one on every corner now. Well, have it your way, but do it our way. You know, I mean, everybody just have a good time. We're just all going to worship God together, and we're going to bring in our rock music and our go-go dancers, whatever it takes. Get a crowd. We wouldn't dare tell the truth because people are offended at that. Everybody do your own thing, but come and worship with us. Yeah, Elijah. I wonder what Elijah would think about some of these things. I wonder what Moses would think about some of these things. Amen. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He says to the king, hey king, I'm tired of you. I'm tired of your sin. Now Elijah doesn't do that just in his own strength. He calls for a drought, and he stood. He said, you clean up your act or else. And if you don't, it's not going to rain. Period. No dew, no rain, according to my word. Now that's a stand. He took a stand. You say, Ahab wanted to kill him, didn't he? Yeah, but Ahab can't do anything. What God allows him to do. That's all. That's all. But I'm going to tell you, to take a stand like Elijah took, he had to have supernatural strength. I'm not talking about wimpy strength like Superman. I'm talking about real strength. I'm talking about guts. I'm talking about strength that only God gives. Strength that takes the shyest person and sends them out knocking on doors to tell people about Jesus. Strength that helps someone who's scared to death of crowds get up and preach the gospel. I'm talking about strength that you cannot explain. It's God's strength. It's strength. He said, I will strengthen thee. You said, well, you know, I think I've become kind of a wimp. Then you need to ask God for strength to stand. Strength to stand. I remember when my wife and I decided we didn't want cigarette smoke in our house anymore. And all the family smoked. All my family smoked. And they used to, I mean, they'd come over and they'd smoke. And I remember we bought a little plaque that said, please do not smoke or something. It was very kind, sweet, loving, and all that kind of stuff. And that little plaque, we set it, I think, on the television set. And they walked in and I said, hey, Dad, how do you like my plaque? I'll never come over again. I said, now, Dad, you know, you can come over. You can. And I stopped and I thought, what can he do? I said, well, I guess you'll never come over again. I said, I don't want you to do that, but I'd like you to come over. Well, you know I like to smoke. I said, yeah, I know you like to smoke, but I don't like smoke. And we don't want smoke in our house. Mom came. She looked at it. And you know, you don't love me anymore. Right? Mom, you know I love you, and we just don't love your smoke, and you can't smoke in the house. Well, I'll never come anymore. I said, well, I guess Brenda and I will be alone a lot because nobody's going to come visit us anymore. That was the hardest thing in the world. By the way, both my parents were unsaved at that time. And you know, the devil tells you, oh, if you take a stand for something, oh, you're going to be in trouble. They won't get saved. It's amazing they did. Strength to stand. But you're not going to do it in your own strength. I remember there was a street in Burn, Indiana, where we started our church. It was called Compromise Street. And I told my wife, I'm never going to drive down that street till a family joined our church that lived there. And we had to. But I hate compromise. But I'll be honest with you. I can compromise. In my own strength. You know how easy it'd be? You guys that are preachers around here, you know what I'm talking about. You look at a crowd and you think, I think I'll cut that out. You know, maybe we'll skip that point. You know, and all of a sudden, what was 7 points becomes 6 points. Because you're kind of looking out there and you're kind of wondering, yeah. Strength to stand. Just keep standing. Amen. Amen. But you're not going to do that in your own church. See, the people all over, you know. Oh, you know, I take a good stand. And 3 weeks later, you're not taking a good stand. Teenagers. Happens all the time. Bless God. Come back from youth conference. Well, I'm ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Bless God. Send the devil at me. I'm going to choke him to death. And the very next week, you're dancing with him. Hello? What happened? You needed strength. You thought you could do it with your own little puny muscles. You need his strength. I need his strength. I'm not going to charge the devil. Hey, listen to me. The Bible talks about those that tried to cast out demons in their own strength. And the demons slapped them upside the head. I remember the first time I dealt with a demon-possessed person. And I'll never forget going in. You know, I'm ready. Boy, bless God, I'm a preacher and I'm ready. And that night, I was absolutely terrified, shaking. And I found out, you know, I better get some different strength here. Because this strength isn't going to cut it. I think the devil laughs at us. I think he laughs when we try to charge hell in our own strength. I think it has to be comical to him when here we go after him and all he has to do is send some little temptation and pretty soon we're crawling. Our church that God called me to preach out of, I'll never forget how there an adult bookstore moved into town. And boy, you know, everybody's going to charge and get after that adult bookstore. And you know, we're going to go out there and protest and we're going to picket and all that. And I never heard anybody talk about praying. Never heard anybody talk about fasting. Never heard anybody talk about trying to win the people to Christ. We're just going to go out here and we'll show them. They sent pornography to the church. And the preacher got it. Went to prison for molesting 12 children. Yeah. Ruined his life. Ruined some children's lives. And all they had to, and the devil had to laugh. He had to laugh about that. Boy, look at that. But you know, he never laughs when Michael's standing with you. He doesn't laugh then, does he? Huh? Like Daniel? He doesn't laugh when God's strength is there. And then you stand. Yeah. Strength is same. That's why there's so much compromise in Christianity. You know, because we do things in our own strength. And we're always going to fail. You make a decision in your own strength just because everybody else is doing it, you're not going to last. Hello? That's right. Well, everybody's going forward. I guess I should. Don't. Don't. You make the decision. God lays on your heart, and then you say, God, give me strength to stand. And you know what? Then you're not going to care what everybody else thinks. You're not going to worry about how it's going to make people mad. You're not going to worry about what all the, you know, oh, what are they going to say about this? Who cares? Who cares? God, please give me strength to stand. Number 6, strength to be steadfast. Again, Daniel 6. Daniel 6. And verse 10. Daniel 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, this is a writing that said he wasn't allowed to pray anymore. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Well, what's the punishment? You're going to be thrown in the lion's den. Well, what are you going to do, Daniel? What do you mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to pray like I always do. Well, the law says you can't pray. Well, God says I have to pray. And so he didn't do anything out of the ordinary. He just said, God, strengthen me so that I can be steadfast and keep doing what I've always done that's right. To be steadfast. Keep doing right. Why? Because right is always right. And hey, if it was right to pray the first time, it's right to pray the second time, it's right to pray the third time, just be steadfast. It's right to read your Bible, it's right to read your Bible tomorrow, it's right to read your Bible on Tuesday, and it's right to just keep reading your Bible. If it's right to go soul winning, then you go soul winning this week, and it'll be right to go next week, and it's right to go and give out tracts all the time. It's just to do right is always right. But we do weaken, don't we? Do we ever. So God, I need your strength to be steadfast. How about God, I need your strength to be consistent. It still amazes me how many of our young people miss Sunday school. I do not understand it. I can only think it's because parents are too weak. So parent, pray that God will strengthen you so that you're steadfast. It's kind of like this. Okay, time to get up. But then they don't get up. Get up! Something like that. With love, compassion. Amen. Yeah. It's tough to be consistent, isn't it? Yeah, it's tough to be steadfast. We need His strength to be steadfast. I love the stories about the early church. Chrysostom, when he was arrested by the Roman emperor, they were trying to get him to recant from his belief in Christ. And they were doing everything they could. They had absolutely no success. They were all frustrated with him because they just didn't know what to do. They said in the dungeon, it's quiet. And since it's quiet in the dungeon, he talks to his God. He's very happy with that. They said, all right, let's execute him. They said, well, we threatened to kill him, but he says he's glad to die. They said the only pain that we can inflict upon him is to get him to sin. And we can't get him to sin. Why? Because he had strength to be steadfast. Strength to just keep going for God. Number 7, strength to step out. Peter, we know the story in Matthew 14. He steps out in the water. You know, you can criticize him because later on he started to sink. But at least he took that step. Jesus, you know, hey, Lord, I want to come out to you. Well, come on out here. And Peter walks out on the water. And it wasn't frozen. Amen. No, the waves were raging all around him. But he starts to walk to Jesus. And the only time he got in trouble is when he took his eyes off Jesus. I just wonder how many of us would even have our eyes on Jesus enough to get off the boat. But it's strength to step out. What is it God wants you to do? You say, oh, you know, I know what God wants me to do, but I just don't have enough. Then ask Him for strength. Ask Him, God, give me the strength to step out. Give me the strength. Give me the strength to trust you like I need to trust you. Give me the strength to make that step that I know you want me to make by faith. Wow. Number 8, strength to speak. It's what Paul talked about, Acts 26. Go ahead and turn there. Acts 26, 22. Acts 26, 22. The Bible says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that He should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And you know the story. Paul just kept preaching, kept speaking, you know. Didn't matter what the people said. But he had to have strength to speak. Strength to keep speaking. Person will not speak for the Lord without God's strength. You just don't do it. Remember the first time you went soul winning? You were terrified. I think even Kathy Morin was terrified the first time, weren't you? Terrified. Absolutely scared to death. I could tell you story after story. You've got some good ones too of soul winners that blew it seems. One lady, a couple ladies out soul winning, first time. They got inside, they started talking to the people, and the people said, well, you know, we're really not interested now. And the lady got so shook up, she opened the door and started to leave, and she was in a closet. Terrified. I've heard stories, people, they knock on the door, they've got everything all down, everything they're going to say, just exactly what they're supposed to say, it's perfect. They know everything they're supposed to do. And the person comes to the door, and they just stare at them and say, hi, are you saved? I mean, but you know, it's just the strength to do it. to speak for the Lord. The truth is, if you have the strength of God, it doesn't matter. By the way, I know of some serious mess ups where people got saved. I remember one time, I thought the guy was not interested. I thought he wasn't really paying much attention. And I said, I'm going through the plan. I said, you probably wouldn't want to get saved, would you? I mean, you're not supposed to say that. Guy said, with a tear in it, he said, what do you mean? He said, I'm ready. What do I need to do? You know, but we're just, you know, soul winners that do it in their own strength, nothing happens. You just need God's strength to speak. Strength to speak to the people at work. In our men's prayer time, we're praying for someone right now. Pray for him every week. Because he said, I want to speak to my coworkers. And I need God's help. Amen. God said, I will strengthen thee. Amen. Amen. Strength to seek. Strength to surrender. Strength to suffer. Strength to separate. Strength to stand, strength to be steadfast, strength to step out, strength to speak. Number 9, strength to slay the giant like David did. He just simply said, is there not a cause? He knew he couldn't do it. But he also knew he wasn't going to wear Saul's armor because it hadn't been proven. But God's strength had been proven. So he puts a stone in his sling and he slings it as hard as he can. Could he really kill the giant? Well, I don't think he could in his own strength. But he did in God's strength. Yeah, do you have any Goliaths in your life? What are you doing letting them keep coming to the valley and make fun of your God? Huh? What is it that causes us to let Goliath come to the valley and make fun of our God? Hey, come on out here, Christian. Take me on. Oh, I don't know. How about this, God? This is a big one. But you're bigger, God. Could I just tap into your strength? Do you understand that God wants you to do that? Do you understand? He doesn't like that giant either. Why did Goliath go down? God didn't like him. He's cursing God. He's cursing God's people. I mean, when David cuts off his head and carries that big old thing, he's saying, hey, look at that! That's my people! Why do you let that giant chase you around? Why do you let that giant keep you hidden? I think it's time you get on an altar and say, God, give me strength. Strength to slay the giants in my life. Could be bitterness. You know what it's doing to you. Could be hatred. You know what it's doing to you. God, I need your strength to slay the giant. The last thing, I'm done, number 10. Strength to submit. Joshua 5. Joshua 5. And there are so many examples in Scripture. But I think these touch all of us. Joshua 5 and verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Now wait a minute. Joshua might have said, wait, whoa, buddy. I'm the captain. Don't you know? Read the title here. It says Joshua. Don't you know I'm the captain here? Oh, no. That isn't what Joshua did, though. Is that what we do often? Yeah. Joshua. The Bible says, Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Wait, Joshua, you're a servant? Oh, yeah. Oh, you better believe it. Yes, I'm the servant. I love this. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Submit. Submit. You say, why do you suppose he would have had to submit it right then and there? Because God was about to give him the strangest battle plan you have ever heard of in your life. Against walls that they had no idea how they were going to knock them down. Strange, strange battle plan. God ever give you some strange plans you just could not understand? Yeah. In chapter 6, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. 6 days. They just marched around the city, singing Amazing Grace, Victory in Jesus. And the walls came tumbling down. Well, that hadn't been written yet, but the seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns, and the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times. Okay, and Lord, I'm still waiting on the bazooka. Okay, catapults, stealth bombers, nukes. I'm waiting, God. Oh, God said it's all taken care of. On the seventh day, you're going to go around 7 times. And you know Joshua had to be saying, yes, yes. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. Okay. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with a ram's horn. Now watch, it's not over yet. Okay. All right, God. He's still waiting on a tank or something. Okay. And when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. Ah! And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And Joshua said, I'm your servant. I'll do what you said. You say, well, what happened? And the walls came tumbling down, just like God said. You know, God has come to me many, 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 many times with plans I didn't understand. There was no way. I just did not understand. God has brought things into my life that I didn't understand. God has sent me to battle. Wars, methods, I just didn't understand. And I just say, God, give me strength to submit to whatever you want. Give me strength to submit. That's what we need tonight. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. I love it. Necessities. Oh, you understand? Boy, I really needed that message. I need God's strength for. And Paul said, I take pleasure in that. Yeah, whatever that is right now that you're going through, Paul said, I like that. That's what he's saying here. You say, oh, I'm not feeling very well. Paul said, yeah, I get like that sometimes too. Well, I like that. What are you talking about? He said, most gladly. He said, I take pleasure in reproach and necessities, persecution, distresses for Christ's sake. You say, why would he take pleasure in it? Well, he says, because when I'm weak, then am I strong. Wow, how can you be? Oh, because I became weak enough to finally ask him for his strength. And he said, I will strengthen thee. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Perhaps you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus into your heart. You're not sure if you're saved. Oh, he loves you. He died on a cross to pay for your sin. And tonight, if you're here and you do not know for sure if you're going to heaven, be honest and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Pray for me." Anyone like that? Raise your hand up. Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. All right, how many would say, "I am a Christian, I am saved, but God has spoken to my heart about something tonight. Please pray for me as a Christian. Pray for me." Raise your hand all over. God's speaking to my heart. Father, bless the invitation. We do need your strength as a church. We need your strength individually, and we ask for it now. And I ask that you'll help some folks have the strength just to come and talk to you, to need your strength, to recognize it and to call on you. And then I pray you'll strengthen each of us to do what it is you want us to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all